So welcome everybody to another edition of Under the Stained Glass, where we take a little look at what we discussed in church today in our lesson, and maybe from a little different angle. Today in church, we were discussing this idea of carrying around unforgiveness and maybe guilt and resentment a little bit and shame about our past and about our sin, and how that can sometimes really weigh us down in our lives, but it can also lead to a little bit of resentment towards God, especially when we have this tendency or we have a theology that says that God is in control of every aspect of our lives. We can kind of get into this bad habit of thinking that the bad things that are happening to us because we're not good enough for God, that God's displeased with us and that bad things are happening. And I think that that is a kind of undeveloped theology and undeveloped idea of our relationship with God that is easy to fall into and especially easy to fall into for kids. So the question is, because we know we don't want to bring that kind of theology into our adult lives, at what point, or is it ever too early to begin to help kids realize a more mature idea of their relationship with God?
I think the short answer would be no, absolutely not. I think there's always room to grow no matter what stage of your faith you're at or what age you're at. You're always continuing to grow, and we'll do this until the day we die. But there is a human tendency, as you said, to think the negative things happen to us because of God. Mm-hmm. And I tend to think about that song, that 70s song, maybe you know it, by Gilbert O'Sullivan. It's called Alone Again Naturally. And he's talking about God, and he says, if he really does exist, why did he desert me? And there's that kind of thought that, why is this happening to me? If God is around, if he's supposed to be good, he must be bad in some way. But this is in contrast to what the Bible teaches us, right? It teaches us that the character of God is not one that saddles us with bad things because he's mad at us or because he needs to get us to a certain place in our life so that we can do whatever he needs us to do. No, absolutely not. It teaches us that we have a fallen world full of people that are exercising their free will. And so this is why the bad things might happen in our life. And we also might think that if we do good things, that we will be rewarded for those good things because we're being extra good people, or, you know, we're putting extra effort into that, and God's going to see that and reward us disproportionately to other people, which isn't really the case. The only reward that he guarantees us is a life with him in heaven, in his kingdom. So this whole idea is contrasting what the Bible says. But what the Bible does say is that God will be there in those situations.
Yeah, God will be there in anything. It's also not to say that God cannot or will not intervene in our lives in powerful ways or even test us. That's scriptural.
Sure.
If he does want to, as you say, kind of bring us to the next level or whatever. But most of the time, what we're dealing with in life are circumstances that result from being in a fallen world, and that God really wants to be with us in that. So the extent to which God is in control of our lives, I think, is better looked at as how pervasive God's grace is in our lives. That no matter what is going on, no matter where we are in our lives, whether we're a believer or an unbeliever, God's grace by the power of the Holy Spirit in this era in history is pervasive, is everywhere, and is everywhere in every way trying to use any situation to help us wake up to his presence and to help draw us closer to him so that we can really recognize him. I think that that is part of a mature faith.
Absolutely.
That understanding that is part of that mature faith where we really begin to trust in him a little bit. And we really need to help kids, I think, realize that truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the best ways to grow in any aspect of faith, but really to mature in faith, and what we want to really help children and then also those people that we are bringing in that are young believers, they might not be kids, but they might be on that younger side of faith, is to share those personal experiences of our life as we have grown in our faith. And those times in which bad things, for example, might have happened to us, and maybe we thought God was doing this to us. You know, we could be honest about that. We could talk about how our faith grew in those ways and how we used to think, but then highlight those ways in which those little miracles where God has helped us out, and we could see those in those situations and really help them to understand that they can identify that too, and they can really identify the real reasons why these things are happening to them, and it's certainly not God.
Yeah, so that when that question comes up, well, why would God do this to you?
Mm-hmm.
We can say, well, God did this for me in that he was with me, sure, and how he helped me through that situation. I think that's really powerful. It's one of those things that we can make sure that we're mindful of in all of our conversations with our kids, as we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, discussing matters of faith in all kinds of ways along the way.
Mm-hmm.
In everything that we do with our kids, just be looking for that faith angle. Certainly in Bible stories, when we have our devotion time, to be looking for the way to help our kids have a more expansive idea of God's relationship, our relationship to him, and how pervasive is his grace,
sure,
as we discover him in our lives. I think of a story like David and Goliath is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I love that story anyway, because
yeah,
it's just a cool story and it's really exciting and kids love it. But there is a really excellent aspect in there of David coming upon this situation where suddenly he's confronted with really evil and unexpected bad thing,
sure,
big
yeah,
bad thing, 9 feet tall bad thing,
yeah,
right? But his reaction is not, God, what are you doing to me?
Mm-hmm.
It's, God, be with me now. What do I do next?
Yeah.
How do I overcome this obstacle that, you know, no one has wished on me, but it's there? And I think that that's just a good way to help kids begin to understand and help remind us too of who God really is,
mm-hmm,
and what God really wants for us,
yeah,
in our lives, this tight relationship, this trusting relationship with him. And it really does come up out in those Bible stories that
it really
we tell our
does
kids.
Yeah. It does. And that's why looking at Bible stories from different angles is so important. I know that this for me is one of the things that I try to emphasize in
mm-hmm
the Sunday school class.
Sure.
And when they go home each week, I like to take those stories or those themes that we've just talked about that are fresh in their minds, and then make that the central component of our daily readings and our newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they can see, you know, perhaps a different Bible author wrote about this theme in a different way. And it helps you to see God in maybe a different light, but it's still the same God.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting the different aspects of it. And it's really helping to complete that faith, to take that, we don't really want to say childish, but childish, you know, incomplete faith, and take it to a really mature, childlike faith.
Mm.
Which is so contrasting and so different.
Yeah, that is really different. The difference between an immature and childish faith and a childlike faith that we are supposed to have. Childlike in the sense of trusting in God, really believing that God is with us. In fact, I think that trust is probably the mark of a real childlike faith,
yeah,
where no matter what's going on, we have this idea that God is with us in the midst of that. And it's just part of that kingdom way of living, where we give up on the idea that our relationship with God is about an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do good and God will do good back. But rather that this relationship with God, this trusting relationship with God, this pervasive grace is the reward in and of itself.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready.
Hmm.
You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans?"
Mm-hmm.
And that's really
mm-hmm
interesting, because the words of Paul to the church in Corinth, these are words for us today.
Absolutely.
We might not be fighting with others or jealous of what other people have or those sort of things, but are we jaded and fighting with God?
Mm.
Are we expecting to never have troubles because we're Christians? And then we're blaming God when we do?
Mm.
And these are the hindrances on our faith and maturing, just as jealousy and quarreling that Paul speaks of were hindrance to the church in Corinth.
That's so good. And I love, too, that Paul talks about all these things in a continuing fashion.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
We're becoming. He's giving us milk, and then we're going on the way towards solid food. And that's just for not only children, obviously, but for big people, too, that it's a process that's called sanctification as we become more and more like Christ, as we become more and more mature in our faith. And I think as we become more aware of who God really is and what God really wants for us, that's that loving, forgiving,
mm-hmm,
and a solid relationship, trusting relationship with him.
Sure.
Yeah. So the more we can give that our kids and the more we can have it for ourselves, the better, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, everybody. Well, that's enough for today. Thank you for being with us on Under the Stained Glass, and we'll see you next week.